Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owen, fresh off shooting on the Raven Podcast, just before we clicked the record button.
Hello, Swerve Nation, and hello to you, Oliver Davis. Is that why you're asking me questions about Raven's podcast?
No, you were listening to it. I asked you who you're listening to. You said, it's Raven's podcast. I wish it was better than it is.
Well, I do wish
Luke
it was...
Luke Owen's words, not mine.
I do wish it was better than it was. However, I tuned in like when he was first doing it. Maybe it's better now. Like, you know, I was just listening to a clip there that I was actually quite enjoying. Mm. But, you know, maybe I just need to give it another shot.
I remember I listened to Stone Cold Steve Austin's first podcast. And I was like, that was fine. Not going to do that again. But now it's really good when he's not talking about
Hershey the Wonder Dog.
Stuff like that. Yeah. I'm sure when people listen to our very early Flickering Myth movie podcast days.
Oh man, what, the Skype call era?
Ooh.
I mean, I'm not even sure those were online anymore.
The delays, I hope not.
No,
I've gone down and tracked them all down.
I think those
killed
are all,
them.
Those are all well gone. All the stuff that you and I did in studio, though, like that one, I think that stuff's still readily available.
We were fully formed by the time we started.
By that point, we've been doing podcasts for a couple of years by that point, at least I have.
Naturals.
And so
I just walked in.
You were just great from the outset.
Yeah.
You and I, the first podcast you and I did together, you weren't on the first one we did when we reviewed Seven Psychopaths, but I think you might have been on for the Iron Man 3 review.
I don't know.
But I do remember you getting very annoyed at one of our other co-hosts who tried to say that Les Miserables was not a film.
Yeah, but it demonstrably is a film.
They were like, it's not very cinematic. And you you went off the rails.
I remembered. It's very cinematic.
And you also had a pop at someone who said that Cloverfield wasn't very good either. And you argued that you had written a paper on Cloverfield. And
every one of my, because I did a lot about surveillance in my thesis, and all the building, the B-level pay-per-view essays, all also included references to Cloverfield.
Yes, yeah. And they questioned, what are you doing with your life? Mm. And you just were like, being quite successful, actually.
smug.
But anyway, how are you, sir?
Good, I'm hot. I just have to go outside at the moment, and I get hay fever.
Yeah, you went outside to take a phone call, business, and then you came back in and you were just like sweating.
Well, that's normal.
Yeah, and then
but it's the added nose uncomfortableness.
You now got all of nose issues. Mm. All the nose issues.
Do you suffer from hay fever? You seem to be pretty okay in sun.
I do, but very lightly. Like, I might get a bit of a sniffly nose of a morning, but, like, that is about the extent of it.
I'm all in.
I'm quite lucky in the sense that I don't suffer from... I mean, I have one crippling ailment that, you know, affects me every couple of years. But, like, every 18 months or so. But, but apart from that, I'm absolutely fine. Like, I'm tickety-boo.
Lactating nipples aren't anything to be ashamed of.
But you know what? There is just this stigma about it that the Twitter will be all up on you if you have to talk about things like that.
I'm going to milk you. I'm going to milk you and serve little Super Luke bottles to the Swaff Nation.
do you reckon we could probably sell that as a Patreon tier? You know, $25 backers also get a monthly supply, like a loot crate.
You think you can
a loot crate?
You think you can produce that much milk?
Well, we don't have that many $25 packers, so I think it would be all right.
A monthly pathetic syrupy drip from your nipple.
Yeah, totally.
That red eye. We haven't spoken to the Podswafters. If like what happened? So we got rid of fake Luke. Like he's gone. Mm-hmm. And to protect ourselves from future invasions, we've hired a new host on WrestleTalk. He debuted in yesterday's news video that you were doing, but I thought this guy should do it. He's called El Fakeador.
Yes.
And I just want to put over again, like, what a trustworthy looking
man. I mean, you just look into his eyes and you're like, what kind eyes. What a kind-eyed man he is.
Kind eyes, a caring beard.
Mm-hmm.
But again, like, caring's good, kind's good. It's just, it's the trustworthiness.
Do you know what? There isn't a hint of cod liver oil about him.
No conning bone in his body.
No.
It is all trust. And yeah. I'm really, really happy to have him on the team.
Mate, very excited. Yeah.
If you're confused, Podswafters, go over to the older
YouTube channel.
Make that synchronicity.
Also, shout out to a guy I got a message from who is clearly a Podswafter. Let me just quickly find his tweet. Kimoraku. I'm going to say Kim Zero Raku. I'm going to say Kimoraku. Who has given me one of this out because he is also a Star Realms player. So
you're the other one.
Yeah,
you're number 25.
He could very well be in the top 25 players in the country.
Is he in? So do you just want to say what Star Jizz is?
I mean, how long have we gone on this intro already?
I mean, okay, can you do it in a minute?
No.
Because I've got spoons to talk about. Let me talk about a spoon, and then excited listeners can wait until... That'll keep them around to the outro.
Wouldn't it just...
What's it called again? Starcom.
Star Realms. Star I mean, Realms. And I'm also going to talk about me competing in a Star Realms tournament, which, you know, is probably more exciting.
We've just lost everyone. I'm not even going to sit for the usual podcast. But if you're wondering, the spoon of today is a Korean spoon. Have I done that one?
I don't know. Read the description.
Korean spoon. Long-handled, often with shallow point at the end of the bowl.
What's the one after?
A marrow spoon, also known as a marrow scoop.
I don't remember either of them, but I think we've now done two. We've got a bit of a twofer there.
Yeah, so a marrow, isn't that what they call like a vegetable in the States?
Yes.
It's like a sort of autumnal vegetable.
Yes. Do we call it something different here?
Maybe. I can't remember what, though. Maybe a butternut squash. Is that a marrow in...
I'm Googling stuff live on air. Vegetable.
Well, anyway, I thought when I saw marrow spoon, it might not be a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Is it?
It is a vegetable.
Okay, right.
According to Wikipedia.
I thought it would be a spoon for that. Not so, Luke. It's an 18th century spoon, often made of silver, with a long, thin bowl suitable for removing marrow from a bone. Ooh, gnarly.
No. Also, we refer to them as courgettes.
Oh, is that what they call a marrow? That's just wrong. That's the wrong vegetable. eggplant.
Although I think we do, like, they are, maybe they are different.
No, they call zucchinis. They're called zucchinis in
the
America.
The immature fruit of the same or similar culvertars is called courgette in Britain, Ireland, France, the Netherlands, Singapore, Malaysia, and New Zealand, or zucchini in North America, Australia, Italy, Germany, and Austria. Oh, g'day, mate. Like courgettes, marrows are oblong green squash, but marrows have a firm rind and a neutral flavour, overgrown when picked and insipid when cooked. That is according to Dr. D.G. Hassian in his book, The Vegetable and Herb Experts. That was published in 2009.
Fascinating.
So the marrow is something different. It's not a courgette, but I believe they are of the same ilk.
I always have a smile on my face when I hear the word zucchini. It's not a word you hear in the UK.
No.
Because it is an American.
It is in...
incorrect term.
Yeah, it's in North America, Australia, Italy, Germany, and Austria. Oh, good day, mate.
But I am familiar with it because of that scene in the Fresh... I don't know why. It's just one of my favourite... TV memories as a kid.
That's the one where his dad goes, "Why don't my dad want me, man?"
No, no, that's a really sad episode. Don't undermine the emotion of that drama, dramatic bit. No, it's when, I think it's when they have, in Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, and they've got the Nicky kid.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I can't even remember whose kid that was.
It's the mum's kid.
Really?
Like, yeah, yeah, you have like a little younger kid. And like
who grows up really fast.
Yeah, they even make a joke about it. Like the following season, he's like 6 years older than what he originally was. And he was like, yeah, he grew up really quickly.
Mm.
It's like, oh, that's little baby Nicky.
When they replace the mums. Yeah. You look different.
Yeah. Love I think it's the only person who realises that it's a different, like, the kid has grown up too quick is Jazzy Jeff.
Oh, because that's the one who realised about the mums.
Yes.
Wow,
Jazzy Jeff is the meta character within. I had a really interesting story about that. I'll let you tell your thing first. I'm going to let
you just see me glance down at the time.
I'm going to let you speak, but first, apparently, the Jazzy Jeff being thrown out of the door, they only filmed that once, and it's just the same used all the time. That's so that's why
amazing.
Jazzy Jeff has to wear the same like jacket.
That's a great way to cut down on costs.
Mm.
That reminds me of that Simpsons joke. Were the voice actor who did Roadrunner. Beep, beep, but they only paid it to do one beep and they doubled it up on the soundtrack.
in the Itchy, Scratchy and Poochie episode.
Yeah, anyway.
Anyway.
The Zucchini, it's an episode where Nicky, like Will and Carlton, realise they can pick up girls with a cute kid as their hook to bring in the lady.
I see, clever.
And Will takes Nicky out.
I can't see how this could go wrong.
Yeah, and Carlton... essentially babysits a dummy baby for the whole day, and then he bursts in on Will in that cafe. Remember they used to work in a cafe for a bit? He bursts into the cafe and he goes, Carlton's really distressed. I looked in the pram or buggy, whatever they call it in America, to find Nicky, and what do I find, Will? What do I find? And he picks up this massive courgette and he goes, a zucchini, Will! And it's a zucchini dressed up like a baby. It really makes me happy.
It's like one of those moments that just kind of sticks with you. And I bet you there'll be other people being like, God, I really remember that as well. It's like if you say to someone, like, I put the screw into tuna.
I don't know what that is.
Well, that is a Kenan and Kel reference. That, like, saying that would be like, ah, yeah, that episode, that one moment, that one random moment from an episode of Kenan and Kel. But it always seems to be there's a certain group of people that are just like, oh, I remember that bit.
Well, I hope if anyone else ever hears the word zucchini in their head, they just play, it's a zucchini, Will. A zucchini. Then I'm your buddy for life. But we've gone over long. It's time for the show.
Okay.
And the short answer is, because she's really cool, we really like her. But the longer answer, because I think you'd feel a bit cheated if we just said that and moved on, is because... when you look at everyone who's in the Money in the Bank match, so on Raw, you've got Ember Moon, Alexa Bliss, Natalia, and Sasha Banks. And on SmackDown, you've got Charlotte, Becky, Lana, and Naomi.
Yes.
I am not excited. If any of those people won, even Ember Moon, I would be like, okay. Just like Carmella winning last year. I wasn't like... yes, Carmella's won. I'm super behind Carmella. I'm just like, James Ellsworth. But if Becky Lynch won, I would genuinely be very, very happy. She's just such an unsung hero. First ever SmackDown Women's Champion. Solid hand. Great promo. People are organically behind her. She'd be a great face of the division. But she's kind of just been ignored for several months, and she's only really getting a bit of a momentum upswing now, most likely as a swerve for when she loses Money in the Bank.
I was going to say several months, try almost, you know, several years, really. Like, she hasn't had a storyline since Alexa Bliss was SmackDown Live Women's Champion sort of way back when.
So that was the start of 2017. So
yes.
not too far ago.
No, yes, but still like 16 months.
Yeah, it's
like,
still way too long,
it's
sure.
Like, I think we're getting up towards 18 months and she's actually had a storyline on SmackDown Live. She's essentially just been there. You know, in all of those six-man tags where they face off against the Riot Squad.
Woman tags.
Six woman tags.
Six-person tags.
You know, against the Riot Squad or against, you know, the Welcoming Committee or whichever one it was that week. So I really feel that, like, she could do a lot with the belts. And I'm just kind of looking at the other lineup. I really like Ember Moon. I don't really want Charlotte Flair to win. I'm kind of like, that seems like something I'd actively not want.
She does not need it in the
slightest. No, that's what I mean. Yeah, she's already sort of at that sort of championship level already. Like, if she was Carmella's challenger at the next pay-per-view, you'd be like, yeah, cool, that makes sense.
Hmm. And her running around with the Money in the Bank briefcase, it's like, it will add nothing to her.
No, exactly, yeah. Alexa Bliss is another one. Like, she's just come out of that championship scene, so you don't really want her being in there again, although I do like sneaky heels with the Money in the Bank briefcase. That's always good fun.
There is value to Bliss.
Yes, there
but is. But she's already done it all. She doesn't need the briefcase.
Yeah. Natalia, I suppose you could put that into the Ronda thing, should Ronda win against Nia Jax, which, yeah. I mean, that's one of the rumours running around at the moment, is that Ronda will beat Nia, and then Natalia will cash in, like, directly afterwards. Like, she'll come down to celebrate and be like, hey, I'm your best friend, bop with the briefcase.
Do you want a hot rumour?
How hot is it?
Well, it's kind of hot, but let's be honest, it's lukewarm, because I have never been able to track this down. I was only half paying attention to the radio when it was said by Dave Meltzer.
Mm-hmm.
Something about Toys R Us or something having a Natalia figure with the briefcase.
Oh, really?
So I have not researched this. Mm-hmm. I don't even know why I'm bringing it up. It could just be complete nonsense. Yeah. And the sort of thing that another site, Sportskeeda probably, or Ringside News, hey, this reported by Ollie Davis of the Wrestle Talk News.
Oh, well, I mean, you are the man to break all of the news.
Never.
So there's Natalia, and then Naomi's another one. I'm not really fussed on her winning the thing.
I'm
going to come back to that one. I was going to come back to the end, because I was going to say Naomi, Sasha Banks, not really asked about either of them winning. Lana is about the only other name in there that I would enjoy, only if Rusev won the men's,
and then
you could have Mr. and Mrs. Money in the Bank. That to me seems like a really appealing, with Aiden English there, I think that'd be really fun for SmackDown Live. However, we've just had Carmella with the Money in the Bank briefcase, and she's now the undeserving champion that really easily beat Charlotte Flair at Backlash, so quite deserving champion. So I don't think we need to do the same thing again with Lana, have the undeserving Money in the Bank winner going on to then win the championship. So yeah, Becky Lynch really is my numero uno pick.
So you're going for Lana only because that Mr. and Mrs. thing.
If Rusev
won. Bad way to book.
Oh, 100% is a completely bad way to book. But that's it's the only other scenario out of these eight that I would be that could make for some very entertaining television.
So my heart is saying Becky Lynch. Everything else really is saying Natalia.
Yeah, mine is too as
just
well.
Just because of the Rousey stuff. They don't want her to be champion for long. But I don't know what they're doing. They've really put themselves into a corner. But the reason we're talking about this now is because Becky Lynch won a match on this week's episode.
What happened to that storyline where she couldn't find her place in the women's division and she was on a bit of a losing streak or whatever was the storyline they were trying to tell a couple of weeks ago?
Don't pay attention to that, Luke.
No.
Pay attention to Charlotte drinking fictional tea.
I've got a note here because I was genuinely... But I've written both girls here were evening match. So Becky and Charlotte had a match. My second note I made is, I can't wait to hear what Ollie Davis made of that kicking spot. So they both go to kick each other.
You write down my full name in reviews.
Yeah, well, I can't just say Ollie.
It's Ollie.
Yeah. Well, it's just weird to do that, isn't it? Ollie Davis. That's what we refer to you at home. Actually, no, my wife calls you Young Oliver. Despite the fact I think you're old. No, you are younger than her. But, they both go to kick each other, and they grab each other's foot, and they go you put my foot down. No, you put my foot down. And they're like, Becky's like, okay, we'll do it on three, okay? All right, one, two, three. And then they very gingerly put each other's feet down, and then sort of go back to a standoff. And I was like, that's an interesting spot. I'd be very interested to hear what Oliver Davis has to say about it.
Nice bit of comedy I've written. This is a babyface versus babyface match. It's not a heated blood feud. It's kind of two friends trying to better each other.
Interesting.
So that this, I thought this totally makes sense with the story, with the characters. It's weird. Charlotte's got a few characters. She is, I am the queen, and I make magic with other wrestlers. That sort of wooden two-dimensional version. Then she's got angry Charlotte who kicks ass in matches and hair goes all puffy.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got this Becky Lynch Charlotte who seems to be the most fun Charlotte and actually most like a human being. So for this match, I thought it was absolutely fine. I got a kick out of it, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought the match was actually pretty good. There's a couple of mistimed spots here and there, but I thought it was, you know, really good fun. And eventually, Charlotte missed the moonsault. She went for the figure eight, but Becky reversed it into a disarmer and bloody won. And I was really surprised. Mm. And then they hugged.
Charlotte tapped pretty quickly.
Yeah, and then they hugged after the match. And my first thought was this, like... But one of my issues, I suppose, I have with Money in the Bank, granted I haven't seen the last 2 weeks of television, so perhaps you can fill me in on this, because Todd Phillips and the rest of his cronies haven't been doing this, or Michael Cole hasn't been doing this on Raw.
What are you doing? There's so many recap packages.
No. Well, that's what my... Are there storylines going into this Money in the Bank? Obviously, you've got, like, Lana and Naomi dancing.
Yes.
But are there other storylines that are going into this?
So, Natalia...
possibly injured.
Well, her storyline is, who is the better friend of Natalia?
Nia Jax, Ronda Rousey storyline.
Like, Natalia is the actual belt in this scenario.
Yeah, exactly.
Not the real belt that they should be feuding over.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right, actually. There's no proper storylines. I mean, people have matches, but there's no real beef there. There's nothing to sink your teeth into with any of these dynamics.
And that's kind of what I feel like it's missing. Like, if I'm saying this is a very much an extreme scenario, but had Charlotte beaten Becky Lynch here, or if you'd have done this a couple of weeks ago and Charlotte had beaten Becky Lynch, and then you kind of said this sort of slow burn heel turn, and then you finally have these two best friends, you know, turn on each other, where, you know, Becky turns heel, her turns heel, which some people think would be a good thing to do. As I said, I'm talking about very much extremes here. And then you kind of have, like, a rivalry going into the match, and you're using the match to kind of further the rivalry, as opposed to just putting eight lasses into a match.
Mm. Yeah, because the majority, and we touched on this yesterday, the majority of the storylines are, we're all friends.
Yeah, well, best mates, me and
Wee.
You.
Hey,
team.
Girls.
Generation X.
Fight. Yeah.
Makeup and hair.
So there is a summit next week.
A women's summit.
Ooh, with all the SmackDown Money in the Bank female entrants, mm-hmm. and Paige. Don't know what form that's going to take. But given how SmackDown changed up the usual tired formats of contract signings and in-ring interviews, I'm kind of excited what a summit might look like.
Hey, Paige here. She might bring something really new and different to this.
What can you see in a summit?
Can I see in a summit? Well, actually, I mean, I see
on the top of a mountain.
I mean, I think it's going to be in the ring. I think they're all going to be standing in a row, and I think Paige is going to talk about how this is historic, and how that SmackDown needs to win, because we had the Money in the Bank last year, and that was historic, and we're, you know, empowering and all that sort of stuff.
And Charlotte's going to say, "Hey, we're going to make magic. That's the most important thing."
Hey, steady on, lasses. You're in the ring with me. I'm basically magic, so we should be fine.
Stop talking about the... Don't look at the briefcase. Stop looking and pointing at the briefcase. It's about the magic. Not the stakes, but the magic. This right here, Middle East, is hope.
Yeah. So that's my other thing as well. Again, I've missed the last 2 weeks' worth of television because I was in a cupboard. But... in the men's thing, we've seen Samoa Joe hold onto the briefcase. We've seen Finn Balor hold onto the briefcase. Like, today we saw...
Kevin Owens went up for the briefcase.
Yeah, exactly. So we've had these people like going up, and they've been grabbing the briefcase and all that sort of... Have any of the women done that in any of their segments?
No, I don't think they have, no.
Okay. Cool, I was just checking.
I mean, that's not going to be the angle that puts it over for me. I've seen quite enough.
Again,
climbing up the ladder and unhooking the briefcase is the WrestleMania sign point of July. Or June, whatever month it is.
I'm just saying, like, it just feels like there isn't a lot going into this.
Yeah, I totally agree. The other feud for Money in the Bank, the women's match, is Lana and Naomi, feud in air quotes. And we got a bit of intergender fun here.
Mixed match challenge lives again.
Yeah. Remember that?
It was fun
that
for
was
a little
fun
while.
On Facebook.
Facebook Watch. Yeah, so they had a mixed tag team match. Jimmy and Naomi cut an Uso-style promo backstage.
Pretty badass.
Yeah, and well, I mean, I've written here it wasn't as threatening as when the Usos do it.
No.
The sort of story around this match was that Jimmy kept kicking Aiden English in the throat, or attacking, or punching him in the throat, and like making him be like, "Oh, I can't sing."
That's a heel move.
Very
right
much.
There.
I know. Well, then the heels kind of backed off to be like, "Oh my God, that's his moneymaker. You can't punch him in that sort of thing." And then the match was quite sloppy because it was basically Lana and Naomi doing the majority of the wrestling in ring while Jimmy and Aiden English were on the outside.
Weird choice, that. I don't know which agent looks at all the people in that match and goes, Naomi and Lana are going to take the majority here.
I do see the logic in it, because then you get the spicy hot tag of Jimmy coming in.
Love that, the spiciness.
And it was a spicy hot tag. It got really good, actually, when Jimmy got in. But I'll be honest with you, Lana, I've written here, Lana hit some of the worst elbow drops I've ever seen.
I didn't mind those. I've written here, Lana looked pretty okay.
What a low bar.
Nothing mind-blowing, nothing standout. She just looked okay.
I mean, these were some of the worst elbow drops I've ever seen.
Those three in a row that she did?
But they're not like elbow drops. She sort of stops an elbow, but then puts her hands down to stop herself from falling.
Yeah. And it was kind of like the elbow was hitting the mat to the side of Naomi's face, not the actual...
Yes.
So you're just armpit dropping, essentially.
Yeah, but, you know, when Jimmy got in, it was like some really good fun because, hey, guess what? Jimmy Uso is a really, really good professional wrestler, and it's Aiden English. And then Jimmy hit a super kick into English's throat for the win.
Oh, you're missing out the best bit. Aiden English is in the, like, Jimmy's in one corner, Aiden English is in the opposite one, and he's mocking the Usos' Uso chant. Mm-hmm. And he's going, Rusev Day! Rusev Day! And he runs to tackle Jimmy in the corner. He does that sort of butt splash thing, doesn't
yeah.
he? But Naomi comes out of nowhere splash.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy hits the kick for the win.
And there was also a moment when Jimmy like hoisted Naomi over his shoulder so she could do a Hurricane Runner of sorts. Mm. Oh, no, it was like a press thing, like a Luthez press.
And... speaking of Naomi dives, she threw herself into one outside.
Yeah, I've written here, she did a sort of dive. Because I think she was meant to flip over, but she didn't really flip. She just sort of like, just flew.
I hope Naomi has thanked Aiden English for saving her life.
Yeah.
Because Lana just like sort of did that thing where you just put your hands out and guide them to the ground. Aiden English just stood there and took all of Naomi.
Yeah.
Because her head was going directly into the center of the earth by that trajectory.
Certainly was. But, you know, I thought this was fun for what it was. But, yeah, Mixed Match Challenge lives again.
It's just Lana and... Sorry, that was a good sign-off point. But it's like, just to bring it back to the Money in the Bank thing, Lana and Naomi, this isn't a money... This isn't a... ladder match winning feud right here.
No.
This is just filler stuff for hot bodies in the Money in the Bank. The Charlotte Becky Lynch stuff really has some potential, and Becky Lynch in particular.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's a SmackDown review, Magala, I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
And speaking of women's segments, we had a women's segment to open up the show with Carmella coming out to open up the show to ask, who really is Asuka? And then even poses the question, even says, she's not the woman we think she is. And she's going to bring out, she's going to expose the truth. And I suddenly thought, like, oh, she's not going to bring out some sisters, is she?
I didn't like this. Purely for that reason.
That you thought some sisters were going to come out?
Well, no. Just like, it's such lazy writing. You've got an almost identical tone to another feud on Monday nights. It's Absolution Riot Squad coming out. I'm going to expose the real Asuka. Like, it's not even strong enough for one feud. Why are you trying to... It's not like this is a winning formula and you're doing it again on Tuesday nights. I didn't think this was good at all.
I tell you what, I mean, I really liked this opening segment, but including the match as well, because Carmella was there and she said that she's going to expose Asuka, and she played this video package to remind us of how awesome Asuka was pre-WrestleMania and then how watered down as she's become since her loss to Charlotte wasn't used in order to actually build up her character or, you know, to further her career. It was a loss and that has been it. And she said,
"I forgot about the Survivor Series win."
Yeah, so did I actually. And she talked about she's no longer the undefeated Asuka; she's just the defeated Asuka. And she called out.
It's
Asuka.
A good line.
It was a good line. Asuka comes out, but then is interrupted by Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville. Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville both want to have matches with Asuka because Mandy Rose nearly beat her last week, apparently. And
she didn't.
Okay.
I mean, it was quite comfortable victories by Asuka both weeks. So when Paige said, hey, you've got unfinished business with these two ladies. Well, not really. Not really, does she?
But anyway, so Carmella then says, like, hey, you could fight either one of them or you could, you know, fight both of them. That's what the undefeated Asuka would do. So Carmella said you could face both of them. You know, you could face either one of them. Paige then comes out and says, no one speaks for me. Asuka, you can face either one of them. And I was like, you've just repeated what Carmella said, essentially. So she did technically speak for you. And but Asuka says that she
wants to... At least she watches the show. Unlike Kurt Angle, who's just on the back with his phone.
Anyway, Asuka said that she wants to face both of them. And then had a really, really fun handicap match. I really enjoyed this.
Let's be honest, though. It was a really fun match with Sonya Deville.
Yes.
So I'm going to unwind this. I said that I really didn't like the Carmella stuff. I didn't like that tone bit. I actually like you enjoyed this overall opening to the show. This went 25 minutes from top to bottom.
Didn't feel like it.
It didn't. And it was like it was a really meaty, full thing to really sink your teeth into. But that's not to say it's perfect. I've already got the problem with the Carmella... I'm going to expose the real Asuka narrative thing. But I did like how she showed the video packages, although I don't like it when wrestlers introduce video packages. Here's something I prepared earlier. Ruins all the spontaneity for me. But this is quite nitpicking, but it's kind of similar to my criticism of...
Us nitpicking on this show sounds very unlike us.
It's just we want WWE to be the best it possibly can be. And it's similar to the Raw stuff. It's so obvious. I don't get why you didn't do it this way. And that's... Carmella says, why don't you face both of them to Asuka? And then Paige says, you know, you choose. And then Asuka says, I'll face both of you. That didn't really get... It got a pop, but it didn't get a big pop. And the reason is because the heels already said it. Like, if Carmella's there being like, I don't think you can beat both of them, yada, yada, yada. And then Paige says, what do you want to do? And then, so no one ever mentions that this is going to be a handicap match, when Asuka finally says, I'm going to take on both of you, it's like, oh yeah, Asuka's badass. She's come up with that all by herself.
Yeah, absolutely. And to further on to that point, as you said, Carmella was the one that suggested it. Paige didn't say you could take them on in a handicap match. She said, no, I would suggest you take them on in singles action. Mm. But then Asuka was like, no, I'll take them on in a handicap match. But you're absolutely right. That is a much better way of doing it.
Just taking the crowd on that journey to orchestrate the biggest pop at the end. Like Kevin Owens powerbombing a special Olympic athlete.
Exactly.
That would have been the best way to do it.
But back onto the positive side of things, this was a really fun match when it was Asuka and Deville, as you quite rightly pointed out, including a really nice spot where they both kicked each other in the head and fell down. It was really cool.
Great double down.
Slight little botch spot, where I think, where they were going to do the spear and then Asuka forgot and kicked Deville when she was running because she missed the, well, she was meant to duck the clothesline.
But I anyway, just think Asuka likes kicking people. God, I mean, you seen her kick Lana's hair off?
No.
Yeah, so this was like 2 days ago at a live event.
Yeah.
Asuka kicks Lana and it, like, Lana's weave goes flying.
Amazing.
Brilliant.
It's like in Scott Pilgrim, where it's like, you kick the hair dye out of her hair. Something like those lines. I haven't seen the film in a while. But anyway, they did this really cool spear, actually. Sonya Deville's got a really nice spear, and Asuka took it very, very well. That was a good near fall. A good sequence. Leads into a reversal with Asuka getting the Asuka lock for the win. I very much enjoyed that.
Yeah, I really... Sonya Deville is very good.
Oh, and Carmella moonwalked on the announcer's table as well.
That's always cool. So Mandy Rose didn't do anything really of note, and the stuff she did do was boring. This was all Sonya Deville and Asuka, and I don't know how much of that is Asuka because she's considered to be a worker who can carry most of the women to pretty damn good matches, like her matches with Nia Jax, and like Sasha Banks' matches with Nia Jax. But some of that's got to be Deville as well.
Yeah,
she's a really good. Really good wrestler. I really like her style.
Really, I think she's come on leaps and bounds since NXT as well. I mean, as I said in the SmackDown review, though, although I think that Asuka has been completely watered down since WrestleMania,
yeah,
she is still one of the best wrestlers they have in the women's division. So
she's one of the best wrestlers in the company. Oh, she's like top five.
Yeah.
I would say.
Absolutely. Carmella got in the ring then and posed with the belt, and then Mandy Rose kind of sort of led a bit of a distraction, and Asuka hit her in the face, and then Carmella laid her out.
So Mandy Rose looked very oily. Do you think she looked more oily than usual?
I don't pay this much attention to the sort of level of detail that you dive into. Is what's her new gimmick that you were talking about last week? Her catchphrase, or like what?
She's the stunning Mandy Rose.
The stunning Mandy Rose,
which Todd Phillips always talks about.
Okay,
but the irresistible force, yes. Nia Jax.
Yeah, but you gentleman. Oh no, what was Rich Swann? Charismatic Rich Swann or something that.
What was it? He did, like, he's just there to have fun. Outlandish.
The outlandish Rich Swann. That was it.
That makes me want to buy matches. He's outlandish.
Outlandish.
But no, I would buy a match of Mandy Rose oiled up.
Backstage.
Liking the oil.
Backstage, Miz was practicing Miz Jitsu, and he nearly hits Mr. Bootiesworth in the face. And then New Day come in and they apologize for not letting him know which one of them is going to be in Money in the Bank. And actually, by the end of the show, we still don't know which member of the New Day is going to be in Money in the Bank. Although there was a poster that was apparently going around online yesterday that had Big E on it.
Yeah, I mean, everyone
assumed it was going to be Big E.
And PW Insider, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Today,
okay. But then I think Kofi like forgot some of his words here, but like an absolute pro, Xavier was there to like help him out and make it seem so natural, and Kofi got back on track. Really, really smart. It's not like when Shane McMahon forgets his lines and there's that sort of awkward pause where he's like, now what do I do?
Reset. Da, 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 da. What up?
What up, Milwaukee? Anyway, and Big E says that he's going to, like, they've got a hat with their names inside. And he says, you can pick out which one of us is going to be in Money in the Bank, but they want to have him blindfolded. And then when they put the blindfold on, they switch out the hat for one that's got pancake batter in it. Miz puts it in. Comedy ensues. He's got pancake batter on his hands.
I loved this.
I thought it was really funny. Do you know who was the best thing about it? Big E.
Yeah,
Big E.
When he reacted to the pancake mix.
So funny. He was doing like the Carl Anderson Muttley laugh. Like the
he's trying to
you're so much better at it. There it is. I can't do that.
It's the only impression I can do. But this was just...
What are you talking about? Your Becky Lynch impression last...
Wait, what do you mean my Becky Lynch impression?
It's so
South African now.
It's like Scouse and South African.
This was just four very, very talented live performers who can do comedy really well and do promos really well having fun together.
Oh, it was.
And that, like, they're obviously enjoying themselves, but not to the extent where it's like it's self-absorbed, where they're like their corpse in all what you said was really funny. It was them putting on a really, really good segment, and that joy transfers to me as a viewer. I love seeing this sort of stuff, and it was genuinely funny when they that's so simple and so childish, but when they switched the pancake mix, I actually laughed out loud. And Miz putting he just everything was timed perfectly, Big E's reaction, as you said. But my favourite bit was just when Big E says to Miz right at the start, "I'm sorry, you wanted New Day to reveal their member to the world," and Miz just goes, "Rephrase." There was no wasted dialogue here. Everything was really tight and funny.
Yeah.
Very, very good segment. And it's just fascinating how Miz has almost gone through another iteration of his character. He's kind of this, that the Miz Jitsu stuff, it just feels like he's working on something new. I'm excited to see where he goes.
And there's those sort of rumours that, like, if Big E's apparently getting a big singles push coming out of Money in the Bank, what that means then for the future of the New Day. This is what PW Insider was saying, that the future of the New Day is currently being discussed. It's segments like this where I go, like, I don't think I do want the New Day to kind of break up, because I do kind of get a kick out of them in some backstage segments.
Yeah.
So
in ring ones, it's flip a coin whether it's good. But yeah. The backstage stuff, I generally say, is very good.
Carl Anderson then had a singles match against Harper, because they are facing each other in tag team action at Money in the Bank. Someone in the comment section yesterday couldn't work out where we got 10 matches from. And basically listed, like, the two ladder matches, the two and the
okay.
three title matches. And then we're like, where are the other matches? And I was like, all of the other matches that they've been promoted.
I've just heard people say 10 matches.
We can go through them if you want.
No, it's fine. I don't want to get depressed this early on.
Well, this is one of them, which is, it's going to be the Brothers Bludgeon versus the Brothers Good at Money in the Bank for the tag team titles. And Harper completely dominated this match, but you'll never guess what happened. The babyface got a quick roll-up and won. I thought it did absolutely nothing for either team or the feud.
Yeah, it didn't do anything at all. But it also, so that's an incorrect way of saying it. It seems like it does nothing at all, but I think it actually harms the Bludgeon Brothers because they have they lost? I think they've lost singles.
Todd Phillips did say this on commentary that they've only ever lost in singles action. They've never lost as a tag team.
Yeah, it's just like, why do it? Why not have Bludgeon Brothers squash a local team while looking at the Good Brothers on commentary? Why not have the Good Brothers beat the Usos or another prominently featured tag team? None spring to mind other than...
It's because all the tag teams were on Raw, yeah, having barbecues.
Well, all the mid-card tag teams were on Raw, or the comedy ones. Why not just have that? Why have one of them get a fluke victory? So, like you said, yeah, it does nothing. Carl Anderson doesn't look strong because it was a fluke. And Luke Harper doesn't look strong because he lost.
Yeah.
It's not like, oh, I can't wait to see these two unstoppable forces collide. What will happen? It's, oh, I'm going to see these two tepid forces bump into each other.
Pretty much. It will get 5 minutes of the pay-per-view.
I really didn't like, yeah, and it betrays what's, it reveals how little WWE think of this feud. This is a filler match.
It is. I feel like this really is just so that the Bludgeon Brothers can officially say, we've beaten every tag team on SmackDown. So for when Sanity debut, they can be like, well, you haven't beaten us.
Yeah.
That's just what I feel like this. It's just filler until Sanity get here.
Totally. And that's no excuse, WWE, for making bad feuds and boring programming.
No. And as I said in the SmackDown review as well, one of my issues with Sanity, like, if you want to hold off on Sanity's debut, it's like we were talking about with Authors of Pain yesterday, that's fine. If you want to, like, just hold them off until you want them to face off against the Bludgeon Brothers, that's fine. But just keep that plate spinning. Like, have Eric Young cut some backstage promos. Mm. Have them in, like, those sort of post-apocalyptic, like, background areas that they used to have in NXT. Have them do something. We haven't had a promo for them in a month now.
Yeah.
Like, it's 4 weeks worth of television where they haven't been mentioned. And to the point where it's like, oh, yeah. So when they debut, people aren't going to be like, they're finally here. People are going to go like, oh, yeah. Yeah, they're here now.
Yeah, because you can either keep that plate spinning. That's one very valid way of doing it. Or you just do it as a complete surprise. But WWE have just done this rubbish bit in the middle where they've done a bit of a tease and then they've just dropped it.
Yeah.
Which kind of says to me that they never had plans for them.
Absolutely
not. They called them up and they started teasing them, but they never had a storyline or a feud to enter them into. They would have kept these teases going.
I was actually listening to a podcast recently where they were talking about that sort of 2004-2005 era of SmackDown, which is where they used to use that as like a testing ground for a lot of guys they were bringing up from FCW and OVW and all these places. Like, okay, we'll put these guys out on TV and see what we can do with them. You know, your Luther Reigns. It's just like there's a whole host of people that they brought up. But they were there for a couple of weeks. And apparently the story is that Vince McMahon, like, he came up and was like, ah, he's too green, don't know what to do with him, just send him away. And then they'd either get fired or just get sent back to OVW. And it sometimes feels with some of these NXT guys where they come up because they have to do NXT call-ups after WrestleMania or something. And essentially, Vince just gets given a list and it's like, he's the people we're bringing up. He's like, cool. And then he sees them, he's like, no, I don't know what to do with them. I don't really get it. I don't know what it is. Like, what is this person? What is this group? Just take them off TV for the moment. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah, which is really frustrating as a viewer. Next up, we've talked about the intergender tag match.
Yes,
enjoyed that. But we didn't talk about the little sponsor that came up before the match. Did you see this?
I didn't see this, no.
I can't remember what it was for, and I should have gone back. But it was like a 3D WWE mobile phone app game, mm-hmm. and it had the little logo there. And then the little logo, so you know when they overlay graphics on the shots of the crowd, that, you know, sponsored by yada yada.
Yeah, yeah.
This match is presented by whatever.
Snickers.
Yeah. So they've got the 3D logo of this game, and then a 3D computer animated Shinsuke Nakamura comes in and low blows the logo.
Amazing.
I love that. I mean, he doesn't do the low blows much anymore, so that was made a couple of weeks ago, but still.
It'll come back into play in their match, I'm sure it will.
Speaking of.
Nice segue.
What an interesting way of presenting a contract signing.
Yeah, I thought this was fine.
Just fine.
I mean, it didn't
Classic
really,
Luke Owen.
It didn't do anything for me, to be honest. I know, like, I get what you mean. Like, it's interesting and it's a different way to present it rather than just doing it out in the ring where someone gets put through a table, because that's kind of like what we're, you know, used to seeing. But it's not like I looked at this and was like, oh, well, that's a better way of doing it. I was like, that's a different way of doing it. But it did the same thing for me in the same way that people being put through tables after contract signings doesn't really do anything for me either.
But this was 4 minutes.
It was shorter.
That contract signing is 10 to 12. And it's the exact same stuff. But here, you don't have to, like, pause for the crowd. You can let those awkward silences breathe. Because that's like, you know, this is a contract signing. It's tense. And you can really play up the drama of that. If it's a pre-filmed thing, you can cut from here to there. Maybe you didn't get the best take. Let's do that again. It makes it so much better. It reminds me, I was a big fan of how Impact do their backstage segments, which is kind of like this, but with someone who's drunk 5 coffees holding the camera. It's like 24 levels of shaky cam. And it was when Alberto El Patron had to relinquish his title, like, I think it was last year, early 2017. And
there's so many numerous times he had to.
Yeah, and Bruce Pritchard is kind of saying, sorry, you've got to hand it over. It's just the way it is. And it felt really real. It was a great, great segment. And although this never felt real, it felt comic book real. So, you know, like, I bought into this. I never was like, man, that is kitchen sink next level method acting. But I was like, this is for this universe, this is the most real it gets. I really liked it.
Well, I will say this. I like the presentation of it, as you said, because you can cut cameras, you can do this, that, and the other. I like the presentation of it. But it's not like this segment as a whole. I was like, wow, I thought the segment as a whole was fine. It was, there wasn't, like, these segments should make you excited to see the match.
I'm excited to see the match.
And at the moment, I'm really not. And I don't know whether it's just that my excitement for this has been killed by all of the matches they've had previously, but I'm not looking forward to having a Last Man Standing match.
I
think it'll be a great match, and it probably will be the best match of the series. But at the moment, I'm not looking forward to it.
I think this might be a case of you being in a cupboard for 2 weeks.
Is that what it is?
Because the build for the last 2 weeks has been very, very good.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And they've really helped put over AJ's character being a hothead, Nakamura's being this, like, anime crazed villain, mm-hmm. troll, and also the Last Man Standing thing. So, I mean, I'm already into this feud quite heavily, and I'm very much looking forward to another match and the progression of the story. So maybe that's why you're not seeing it as good, because you're right, it's not like the mega go-home angle, mm-hmm. but that's next week. Well, they'll probably botch that, but this is 2 weeks out. This is the perfect 2 weeks out from the pay-per-view segment, I think. I don't think we've actually described what it is. So it's a contract signing, Pod Swafters and Swaf Nation, that didn't take place in the ring live. It took place in a pre-taped backstage segment where Paige was emceeing it in the middle of a table. Then you had AJ and Shinsuke on opposite sides. And then next to them...
Lawyers.
It was just heavies.
I thought it was their two lawyers.
Dean Malenko?
Yeah, he might have gone to law school.
No, it was Dean Malenko and Adam Pearce who were just there to stop AJ from putting people through a table.
I did not realise that was Dean Malenko.
They were the agents, yeah. And Adam Pearce on the other side.
Yeah, I didn't...
All right, okay.
I was too focused on the other guys.
AJ signs. He's like, you know, I'm going to beat you at Money in the Bank. And Nakamura goes to use his pen to sign his contract. He goes, out of ink. And he just throws it behind him. Can I borrow yours, AJ? Like, just being like, just ramping up the tension and just being such a dick about it. I loved his performance. And AJ hands Shinsuke his pen. And then Shinsuke just shakes and goes, it's broken. And he throws that away as well. And for some reason, that's the most offensive thing ever to Styles. Because he's a hothead. And he slaps Shinsuke across the face.
His pen is phenomenal.
Yeah. And maybe it's one of those ones like you shake it and it's like that the lady has no clothes anymore. Yeah. That's my favourite pen, Nakamura. And Paige is there, like quite rightly, going, what the hell are you doing, AJ? And that's like AJ's character. I really like that side of it. That although he's a babyface, he doesn't take any crap. He's like, I don't care about the consequences. I'm very emotional right now. I'm going to slap you in the face.
Can I pose a better outcome for a better stipulation for their match then?
Book it better, Luke.
No, it's not. I'm not saying book it better. I'm just saying, like, if this is the storyline you're telling, as I said, I've missed the last 2 weeks TV, that AJ's this real hothead and Nakamura's the one who's playing these mind games. Do you know what stipulation I would have chosen then if I was booking this? That AJ can lose the title on a disqualification.
Yeah. That is good.
Like, because that builds up into this then, that AJ could always be teasing getting DQ'd in the match and losing the championship. And that plays Nakamura just playing mind games throughout.
Trying to capture that Christian Randy Orton magic.
Exactly,
from
yeah.
Money in the Bank 2011. Yeah. That is a good way.
Because none of this plays into Last Man Standing. At least like the AJ being a hothead and Nakamura playing mind games, that doesn't play into Last Man Standing.
Well, this does. Okay, so let me finish the description of what happened. AJ's carried off by Malenko and Pierce, and then Nakamura just produces his own pen from out of his pocket.
Lovely touch.
Signs it and goes, Last Man Standing. So he is in my head, he was the last man standing in this segment because he's got a cool head. He's going to manipulate AJ. I do like the idea of the DQ thing, but the feud, logically, I don't think it works as well as you think it might because the previous matches have all been based on Shinsuke getting like that low blow. So it would work against him. It would work against the heel as much as it would the babyface.
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. But I really enjoyed this segment.
That's fine.
It's not the best segment ever. I just thought it was bloody solid.
I thought it was fine. But I liked the presentation.
Then we got more interviews.
Yeah, we got Samoa Joe being interviewed by C-3PO. Thankfully...
She has a name.
I'm reading it.
Dasher.
Thankfully, Joe comes in and cuts an awesome promo because Joe's such a good promo. He's absolutely awesome.
Oh, it's because I've cut out my notes. So this interview... Sorry, after the contract signing was Charlotte and Becky Lynch.
Yes.
And then it goes to C-3PO.
Yeah.
And she just goes...
Although C-3PO does have a lot of personality.
Yeah.
That's unfair to C-3PO.
But it's... Dasher then does this really awkward scripted spiel about Lynch winning. Saying, oh, she is now well-placed to win the Money in the Bank. Speaking of Money in the Bank, segue. Here is Samoa Joe.
Yeah.
And Samoa Joe just comes in and bosses it.
Absolutely. I actually have a theory. I was thinking about this earlier today as to why all of the interviewers, except for Renee, are so wooden. I actually think it's on purpose. I think they're wooden on purpose to make the wrestlers seem more charismatic when they come in.
That's totally it.
Like, so yeah, like, so Mean Gene sometimes could overshadow, because Mean Gene was such a good talker. If the person he was interviewing was not as good of a talker, you're like, well, why is the interview better than the Warlord? Or why is the interview better than, you know, this guy? So maybe it's just like, they had to be like, so please welcome my guest at this time. And then pass it, and then the person comes in, is like, even if they're just like a modicum of charisma, they seem so much more charismatic next to the other person.
I totally agree. I agree with your theory. I don't agree with that as a presentation style.
Absolutely not.
I'm much more of a fan of the Joey Styles, the Mean Genes as those backstage interviewers, the Jeremy Borashes.
Yeah,
so much charisma. But it totally ties in with what Justin Roberts, the ring announcer, always criticised WWE for when he left last year. He said that he wasn't allowed to put much inflection or energy into the announcement of the wrestlers' names because the crowd only has so many pops in them. This was WWE's, like, their rules to him. They said, don't do that because the crowd have only got so many pops. Let them use it on the wrestlers. Don't try and get yourself over. And just, no, he's trying to make a better product. Stop being so paranoid.
So the whole 1-4 thing is like, don't just talk over them saying 1-4.
Exactly. Like, why would you want the crowd to have fun? It's a completely just backwards way of thinking.
But anyway, speaking of promos, Big Cass came out for a promo, and it was kind of like sort of off the side to the stage a little bit, which was like a nice little... It made it look a little bit different. I like that.
So the
that.
Crowd are in the background.
Yes. But what I will say is that I have missed the last 2 weeks of shows, but it doesn't appear that Big Cass has got any new material, because his promo was about being tall, and
yes.
And Daniel Bryan is not tall, and he said that he was there at WrestleMania 30 when Bryan won the WWE Championship. He was walking behind him, and all he could think was, that guy's quite small, I'm pretty tall, why is he the champion? Essentially, that was what he... And then he said that... He had this really odd line where he said, a good big man will always beat a good little man. And I looked at him and I was like, mate, you lost at Backlash. So the little man did win.
Hmm.
And then he said that Bryan has never been in the ring with someone as big as me. And I was like, mate, he was at Backlash and he won. He was in the ring with you last week. It's not like you're getting taller. With each growing promo,
bigger boots.
You're still 7 foot tall. You still can't teach it. I appreciate that, but he has been in the ring with someone as tall as you because he's been in the ring with you.
Yeah, you know how you were a bit down on AJ and Nakamura just now.
I wasn't down on it. But I said it was fine. It's a 3 out of 5 segment.
Sure, because you'd missed. I think it's because you haven't had the previous 2 weeks. You're on the money here, though,
okay.
Because nothing has changed. Big Cass. It's just like the stuff he said did not warrant saying,
yeah.
Especially on live TV to build a story, and it felt like it went on for a while.
Well, after Samoa Joe cut his promo, I thought, cool, we're going to get our main event 6-man tag. It's the only other match that we've had announced for today. I was like, wow, cool, that's going to get like 15-20 minutes. That sounds like it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then we got this instead, which took up, like, you know, 6 to 8 minutes of that. And then we got another promo after that. By the time the 6-man came around, it actually, there wasn't a lot of time for it. And I just thought, like, I'd have just scrapped this segment because it didn't do anything to further the feud.
Mm.
And not to take away from Big Cass, it's a good promo. I quite like his promos. It's just that they ring hollow.
Yeah, I totally agree. And he did that thing again that I really, really hate. Let's have a look at what happened when I beat him in the main event. Well, he didn't even beat him. Samoa Joe beat him. Daniel Bryan had Cass beat at the end of last week's main event. Joe locked in the Kikina clutch. He won. And then Cass hit the big boot after the match was over. And that was like, he's a big man always. But like you said, Backlash disproves that.
Yeah.
And then it's like, I've just written here, why is everyone playing clips today? This was like the third time a promo had a clip as a part of it. Just makes it really staged and scripted quite transparently. And then when it comes back to Cass, Renee Young does her Thanos away thing.
That's good.
Where she just disintegrates into the ether.
Yeah, she's done her job. She asked her one question and then held the microphone. and then walked away.
That's not how normal interviews work. If you watch any chat show, it is quite a back and forth deal. Ask one question and then the camera completely ignores Conan O'Brien or Jonathan Ross or Graham Norton.
You and I have done interviews. You and I have done interviews for movie websites. So you often find that when you do your junkets, you sit down in your chair and you ask your one question and then you go, and then you just stand up and walk away and just let them talk for
You interviewed John Cena.
I did interview John Cena, yeah. And I just let him talk for 5 minutes. And I actually wasn't there. I had to get the rushes afterwards. I had to go back in after he'd finished his answer so I could get the rushes and edit them.
To be fair, though, that did actually happen when I interviewed Bryan Singer because he didn't really want to talk about how bad his movie was.
Which movie was it?
X-Men Apocalypse. Cass cut an okay scripted promo. And but the only other thing of note was that this was shot from a low angle to present Big Cass as appearing big. You know, when you shoot things down closer to the ground, you're looking up at the person speaking, and it gives them the illusion that they're bigger. That was the most interesting thing here.
Pretty much.
Then we had a scene cut. So this was like three interviews in a row.
Yeah.
Fine with interviews, especially because they were quite short. I mean, the Big Cass one went on, but really the backstage ones were short. But just don't put them all next to each other.
Spread them out.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we've got loads of stuff to build for next week. Cram them in before the main event. Oh, but the main event was going to get 20 minutes.
Well, at the moment, your new thing, your 11ces in the office, is that you have your little slice of toast with peanut butter on it.
Almond.
With almond butter on it. So when you have your almond butter, do you put all the spread into one little bit of it, of the bread? So you just have all of the dry toast,
and then a big bit of
big clump of it, or do you spread it evenly across?
I actually do it the first way, just to annoy you. Next up, we had Sin Cara backstage with Dasher again,
with 3PO, yep,
just doing a little robot dance. Sin Cara's mask managed to show more emotion.
Sin Cara came in and got a promo because he's wearing the mask. He was like, I don't know what Sin Cara is talking about. I don't know, this is 14 years old.
Did a bit of Bane. Yeah, he said he knew Alma since they were kids or whatever, and he doesn't know what's happened. And then Zelina Vega walks in, says, well, I'm his business manager. I've transformed him into a winner. Almas attacks Sin Cara. Hey, we've got a match next week.
Certainly have.
I was
expecting this to be on the pre-show for Money in the Bank.
Mm. Which is, it's better that that's not the case. Which is, you know, this is, Almas is going to get a proper match, hopefully. Sin Cara's very, very good.
Mm.
Doesn't really get a chance to show it. One of the most legit tough guys backstage as well.
I've heard this, yeah.
He's 5-0 in backstage fights. He's beaten up Sheamus. He's punched Chris Jericho.
Didn't he have one with Enzo? No.
I don't know if it was Enzo.
But then wasn't he kicked off the bus?
I feel like it was Simon Gotch, maybe.
So
that was the Jericho one, because apparently, these are all the reports, they're so silly. On the European tour in November 2016, Sin Cara was making annoying noises, and everyone told him to shut up. Jericho told him to shut up. And then a scuffle ensued. But I just imagine Sin Cara driving in a bus. Hey, WWE.
Is that what you think is annoying noises?
Arriba. Yes.
Dearie me.
I saw a clip. Someone just posted on Reddit the most badass way to exit an interview ever. And it was from El Junico, who is, of course, now Sin Cara. And it's just a WWE backstage thing from years ago. And the guy's talking to El Junico backstage without the mask, of course. And he says, yada yada, something boring, tattoo question. And as the interviewer is still asking the question, El Junico just starts to walk away into the background. And out of nowhere does a handstand flip. And then just carries on walking.
Hmm.
And go and look for it. It's so cool. I just wish we had that. In a Latino faction with Rey Mysterio, Almas.
Well, you don't want too many people getting over it. There's only so many pops in the crowd, mate.
So the main event was the New Day taking on the other men, SmackDown Money in the Bank entrants, which are Samoa Joe, Miz, and Rusev.
I was very much looking forward to this.
And it was good. And they crammed quite a few inventive spots in there. But overall, I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it, but I do wish it was longer because it could have been even better. And at the end of the day, it was just kind of like a throwaway fun match, not a main event feel.
It had a proper house show feel about it, particularly when it came to the ending. And I felt like it was good, but it got really great when Kofi got the hot tag. Like, that's when it kind of kicked into its second gear, and it really, really picked up then. And after that, it was just like crazy and fast action. You couldn't really keep track of where everyone was, and that, like, in a good way, because they were doing big crazy flip dives and moves and this, that, and the other. But the finish of it saw Miz ordered Joe and Rusev to pick up Big E, because he'd gone outside to pick up their tray of pancakes. And there's a moment earlier in the match where someone kicked the stairs and the tray fell down, and I thought, oh no, I bet you that was meant to play into the finish. Someone's going to have to go down and scramble all the pancakes back onto it. Anyway, Miz grabs the pancakes, takes it back in, and he's going to throw them at Big E. But he gets distracted by Kofi on the outside, and by the time he's turned around, Big E's kind of fought off. And so he just throws the pancakes, and he throws them at Joe and Rusev. The ultimate sign of disrespect on SmackDown Live. Because they hate pancakes on that show, apart from the New Day.
Two men that you don't want to make look silly.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
Like, Rusev's got a silly aspect to him, but Joe... Like, even though wrestling is apparently scripted and predetermined, I would still poo my pants if I was the Miz. Even though, we talked about that backstage. Yeah. The moment Joe looks at you, that is bowel exit.
And Miz sold this so brilliantly as well. He was like, oh, guys, I didn't mean to throw it at you. And the Machka kick to Miz, and then a senton by Joe. And just like a couple of unstoppable badasses, they were like, I'm out of here. And just walked away. It was so cool. Joe's awesome. He is the man I want to win Money in the Bank.
Same here.
Absolutely want him to win. Or Rusev.
Just with Joe walking around with that briefcase.
Oh, it'd be so
giving
great.
People psychotic evils.
Yeah.
There's a tag team I never knew I wanted.
Joe
and Rusev.
Oh, absolutely.
The big bastard team.
That is a meaty old team. Yeah. And then they hit the New Day hit the midnight hour and pinned Miz. A fun main event, but it wasn't like a whoa main event.
Yeah. Inconsequential, but very, very fun.
Yeah.
I've got to give a shout out to one incredible spot. Really inventive. I loved it. So I think it was Big E had Miz in the ring. Yes. Yeah. Big E had Miz in the ring, and Kofi jumps up on the top rope from the apron to the top rope, hard cam's facing it, so it's on the far side of the ring, and it looks like Kofi's going to springboard onto the Miz. That's why Big E's holding him in place. He doesn't. He just does like this trustful backwards off the top rope. I'm like, what the hell did he just do? And it was to take out Samoa Joe, who was on the outside.
It was so awesome. It was like an optical illusion.
Yes, because that's what they said on commentary.
Yeah. I don't know where I got it from, but it's weird because it looked like he had moved forwards and then just sort of disappeared into the ground. It was like a glitch in a video game. It was so cool.
Really, really good. So overall, it was. We've said this about this week's episode of Raw. You could have missed that show, and apart from Baron Corbin being the constable, you wouldn't have missed anything. I would argue the same for this week's episode of SmackDown. Missed this show, you wouldn't miss out. But Raw was boring. SmackDown was fun all the way through. I never thought it dragged.
So what would you have scored it?
I would have given this a 3 out of 5. Just like, but a solid 3 out of 5. Sometimes average is good for WWE.
Man, I gave it the exact same score.
Yeah.
I gave it a smack bang in the middle. I thought it was better than Raw, not a high bar to get over, I appreciate. But there was nothing particularly special about the show either.
Yes.
It was like, there was nothing on it that made me go like, man, I can't wait to tune in next week and watch SmackDown again. Even worser, it didn't make me excited for Money in the Bank. Which, you know, but like, save that for next week, that's absolutely fine. But I thought the show was good, it was 3 out of 5, it was fine.
And pretty impressive considering no Daniel Bryan, no Jeff Hardy.
That's why there's a depth that SmackDown has. They can put on these fun shows without always having to have... Like, AJ didn't have a match. Nakamura didn't have a match. They were just in backstage segments. You've got such a great roster depth on there. It's really good. I think SmackDown's very good at the moment.
Yes, I agree.
So I went to the UK Games Expo. It's my second year going, which is in Birmingham in the NEC.
Were you advertised? You went to Birmingham for this?
Yeah. Drove all the way up to Birmingham for it.
Went like 2.5 hours?
About 2 hours.
I'm a slow driver.
I went to go meet my brother, who'd been up there on the Friday. He was also going there on the Sunday as well. And it's great. Like, it's just basically like, you know, people or like games publishers just have their games just sort of laid out, and you just go, then you just start playing games, and you've got to get a feel for things.
So you're not talking about a video game.
No.
You're talking about board games, card deck playing games.
Tabletops, card games, that sort of stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's sort of cool games, essentially. And I mean, it was so much busier than it was last year. It's a really, and like the thing feels bigger. Like a lot of the tournament stuff feels more separated and kind of pushed out. But it was really good. Like I thoroughly enjoyed it there. What I would say though, it's you've got to be patient. Like essentially, what you've got to do is if you want to play a game, like there's a game that you really want to like play, you have got to just wait by a table. Don't like go like, oh, someone's playing that, let's go see what else is going on, because you'll just never find anything then. Because me and my brother did many laps of the place, just being like looking for something that we could play, but it's always like a group that is always at a table because it's so busy. So if you go next year, that would be my advice. Just kind of like hawk around a table for a little bit and wait for a game to finish, unless it's something like, you know, a mammoth like 40 minute game, you're likely to be able to get onto a table soon enough.
So I've just realized that I don't need to keep asking you what this game's called, Star Boobs.
Yeah,
because it's, you've got a sticker of it on the other side of your laptop.
I do, yes. That was one of my, so I competed in the Star Realms, the UK tournament for Star Realms, which is a deck building game where essentially you are trying to destroy your opponent by hiring ships and bases from four different factions, and then you can kind of combine those and put them in your
That's
deck.
Cool.
And it is cool, and it's great because, like, although it is, it's not like Pokemon where you have your own specific deck and you kind of like build up on that deck. There is one deck that you just all play, like the two players play between. So it always makes it feel very fair.
The great equalizer.
That's exactly it. So I was playing in that tournament. There were 64 slots available within this tournament, and it was advertised as single elimination. And I said to my brother, because I was like, I'm going to sign up for this tournament. It was only me and him, so I kind of felt bad because like I thought he might be signing up for a Legend of the Five Realms tournament, which is the Legend of the Five Rings, which is the game that he plays. I thought he might sign up for that, but he's like, no, it's an all-day thing. I was like, well, I'm going to sign up for this because it's single elimination. I'm not that great a player. I'll probably be out in the first round, and you know that'll be fine. Turns out not that many people signed up.
Aww.
Star Realms is not that popular a game, unfortunately. I think it's a really great game, but it really is not that popular. So much so that like they had like the X-Wing tournaments like were massive and just took up a huge space of hall too, and the Legend of the Five Rings stuff took up a huge space because that's made a massive like resurgence in the last year or so. That was taking up a huge portion. Star Realms, very much just pushed into the corner. You guys pushed to the back. You're like, we're by the Final Fantasy trading game, but like that had a much bigger space as well. So we were all along this one table.
Such hipsters.
But because there wasn't that many people, they changed it from a single elimination thing to a almost like a round robin tournament. Where we've, so we play, or they call it, we're playing Swiss. So we played. They said we'll have five first round matches. Everyone plays five first round matches. That will build up our top eight, and then that will be single elimination. And I thought, okay. Granted, a game of Star Realms doesn't take that long, 20 minutes, you know, really. And they allowed for half hour between each thing. But yeah, it took a long time to kind of get people set up, to kind of get, because like all the decks were like fresh out the box, which means they're all like in order. All the four factions were in order. So you had to kind of do a lot of shuffling. It just took ages to get things set up. And after two and a bit hours, I'd played three games.
Ugh.
And I lost my first game quite handedly, actually. The guy absolutely destroyed me. But he was like a very good player. I realized when I was out of my depth at that point. And so I thought, I'll play a second game, and then maybe I'll call it quits after that. And so I texted my brother, and I was like, I lost the first game, going to play a second one, see how I get on. And so I played the second game, and I won.
Well, hey.
And I was like, yeah. And I went, I felt really good about winning as well because I played really well in the game. I made some very smart choices in the factions that I bought into my deck. Felt really good about it.
This is a 2 out of 3 full structure. The babyface loses the first full, wins the second.
Yes. But then I lost the third game.
Oh, okay.
And so I texted my brother saying, like, well, I'm going to do one more. And he kept texting me back going like, yeah, you know, it's fine. You know, you do that. You carry on. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, but he's on his own. And there's only so much you could do on your own at UK Games Expo.
Mm.
I thought, man, he might be getting a bit bored. I feel kind of bad. Like, I've come all the way here. We don't get to see each other very often because he lives in Wales and this and the other. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to play one more game. And then I lost that game. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to call it quits there because it's going to take me another 2 hours to finish these next two games to see where I'm officially ranked. And so I text my brother saying, like, no, I'm done. I'm calling it quits. And he says to me, I'm going, like, are you sure? And when I finally met him downstairs, he was like, I'm so glad. Like, I was just being polite. It's like, I was starting to get really bored.
I was hoping this story would end with you going to find your brother, and he's kind of like fourth in the world at Legend of the Five Dicks, and he's there with loads of hot gamer girls, and they're all popping champagne and spraying it over people.
No, unfortunately not.
Oh, that's why you didn't want me to come.
Yeah, no, he was just very bored. Okay. And so we went to go and play some other games instead. Because I did say to him, like, as much as I enjoy playing Star Realms, I didn't drive all the way to Birmingham to play one game multiple times over. So we went and tried some other stuff instead.
You're a quitter. That's what you are.
Well, you know, but I am.
You could have found out where you were. Well you're not... you could be last.
Well, no, exactly. So I'm not last, but I am in the top 24 players in the UK. That's technically official now, because that was a ranked tournament.
You just showed up though, and you didn't even complete it.
I know, but like, just by showing up, that automatically put me into the top 24 players in the UK.
I don't think that's how leagues work.
Well, it is, because that was an official UK tournament. But and like, the winners from previous tournaments didn't show up to, like, you know, claim their honor.
But this is the first one ever, right?
No.
So it's okay, so there's already a pre-existing ranking of players, which I assume is longer than 24.
One would assume, in the UK.
So on that day, I don't think you can say you're in the top. I'm just trying to think how this would.
I
don't think there's any argument for you being in the top 24.
Well, the way I look at it is that I am sort of officially, but not really, ranked in the top 24 players. It was an official tournament, but I'm not really ranked in the top 24 players. But I sort of am based on that one tournament. So I sort of
on that. On but that te- day,
technically
yeah.
not, but I sort of am in the top 24 players. And I've got cards to prove it, because I got a card for A, entering, and B, winning a match. And I got a sticker as well, which you can see on my laptop.
You do have that sticker.
That sticker.
It's looking at me right in the face.
That sticker shows that I am sort of, technically, but not really, ranked in the top 24 players of Star Realms in the UK.
Well, if you, Swath Nation, are ranked in any board game ranking thingies, please do let us know.
Do you know what the winner got? The winner of it got to be
£1 million.
Got to be added into the next game.
Like, pretty cool.
They got their picture taken, and they are going to be characterized and put into the next game as one of the heroes.
That's cool, but it also kind of sounds like a Goosebumps novel, and they're trapped in that card deck that they love forever. I'm stuck in the card picture.
That's a good story. Mm. Actually, then you're transported into that world.
Yeah, forever.
Forever.
And like, the mum's like, oh, he's never come home. And it's actually really sad. I used to hate episodes like that as a kid, because I'd be like, oh, the poor family. There's too much peril for me. Anyway, let's get some iTunes reviews out there before we leave. BShell2105 says, I have been to Kalamazoo. Remember that was a thing?
Oh, yeah, Kalamazoo!
Hey, guys, dedicated listener here from the great state of Indiana. I started listening for the wrestling, but stayed because Ollie is basically a slightly older British version of myself. There's nothing better than listening to someone that has the same opinion than you on most things, I think. Like, everyone who uses Facebook and the echo chambers of social media would agree. And I think he would feel the same way. Keep up the good work. Oh, and Luke is all right too, I guess. And he's just saying that as a joke. Thank you,
pretty sure
Michelle.
He is. Thank you very much.
2105. Just to be a stick in the mud, I don't agree with that. I think you should listen to loads of people who have conflicting opinions and views to yourself.
Yes, you don't want that echo chamber nonsense. For example, I like talking to people who are wrong about Star Wars The Last Jedi and think that it's a perfectly average movie, when it's actually not. It's the best Star Wars movie ever made.
Killer B-Mac writes, Roman Reigns is a wanker. Pass it on.
Crikey.
We can say that, can't we?
Well, I think so, but we haven't got like that American commentator girl like, oh, what's a wanker?
I used to love how
Nigel McGuinness as Desmond Wolf in TNA would always call people wankers.
It's just a great British phrase.
Yeah. It's also, a swear. It's a swear word.
It's a cultaholic thing as well.
I was going to say it sounds King Rossy. They write, absolutely number one wrestling podcast in the world, followed by Luke disputing the fact.
That's good. Well, yeah, that's true, because we're not.
While I love crap gimmicks, I would also like to see a good gimmick skit where people suggest actually good gimmicks. Love the podcast, just here for the cheap pop and to throw that suggestion.
Well, I mean, thank you very much, Killer B Mac. But, like, yeah, where would be the fun be in good gimmicks?
Also, would have to, that means people were genuinely trying to be submitting good gimmicks and will have to tear those apart
and say
that
no.
Doesn't feel as nice as stuff that's meant to be intentionally bad.
Yeah, I think it's fine when people submit. We got that email from Adam Emond. I think we mentioned this on yesterday's show about how turtles are known to carry salmonella, correct? And that's why we looked over one of them. Was I there for that?
You were not there for that. Okay. That was Saturday's show. That was the salmonella.
Oh, I see.
A turtle catcher. Apparently it was a very good gimmick that went completely over my head. It was still muddled. Also, like, his offense wasn't tied in with the character that well.
And if you're going to go for, like, turtle-based humor, why wouldn't you go for, like, the Teenage Mutant Ninja variety?
Yeah, exactly. Copyright reasons. But that doesn't stop people in Mexico.
I was going to say, also, that would get over with me. I'd be like, oh, instantly, signed.
Well, there you go. That's some advice on crap gimmicks for this Saturday. Submit those to luke@wrestletalk.com because he's back, people.
Yeah, I'm back, but man, I've got such a backlog. I have 31 unread crap gimmicks.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's all we've got time for on today's show. Maybe not.
On that note, I'm going to bring this up again on Saturday's show in the Wrestle Ramble so that the YouTube Swaff Nation can find this. If you really want to get onto my good side, if you really want to, like, appeal to me when you're doing your email, like, subject line to make me want to read your crap gimmick, don't put best crap gimmick or, like, you'll never turn down this crap gimmick. I'm not, like, a YouTube video. I don't need to be clickbaited into opening. I'm going to open up your email regardless. Just put crap gimmick. Like, you don't have to, because, like, you're setting yourself up for a fall, really. I'm instantly going to dislike it.
You won't believe what this crap gimmick did next.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, remember these crap gimmicks from the past? Click here, see what they look like now.
Isn't it crazy how that became, like, an article trend that you could do? It's like, these actors starred in a movie in 1993. They look very different now. It's like, yeah, 25 years have passed. What did you expect was going to happen?
Apart from
Paul Rudd.
Tori Wilson.
Yeah.
Who looks better.
Yes, and Paul Rudd, who was not aged a day. Mm. Like, Paul Rudd looks the same in Ant-Man as he did in Halloween 6 in 1996.
He is immortal, but that's all we've got time for on today's episode. We'll see you on... No, you do this bit, don't you?
Well, I mean, you can do it if you want.
See you on Saturday.
Love you, bye!
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.